Okay, tonight's an important night because I found that too many believers live on accident. I believe in intentional living. Does everybody know what that means? What's intentional living mean? Yep, exactly. You live on purpose. So many people live on accident. They do, they act, they react. Their whole life is done on accident. How many of you have done something then regretted it? Twice. How many of you did it and you said, you stupid? Yeah? You look and you say, twice. I'm sorry. But you see, this is the issue, is that God has never called us to live on accident. And I want to tell you that there's a problem in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ isn't teaching the body of Christ. So my job, I want to remind you what my job is. My job is threefold. My job is to equip you, bring you to unity, and to bring you maturity. My job is not to visit you at the hospital. Listen now, if you're dying, I'm going to come visit you at the hospital. So if I show up at the hospital, I remember one time, Bruce Girardi was getting his knees done, and I showed up at the hospital, and he looked at me and said, leave. So, you know, my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry, to make sure that you're empowered to do God's will, and you're empowered to live right. Many believers struggle with the flesh. They struggle with sin, and with all great intention of being successful. They don't go out and say, boy, I can't wait to fail. But you see, if you do not understand how something is made, then there is no way to know how it works. If you don't know how it works, you'll never get it to do its job. So I have a lawnmower. Now, I remember first sitting on this lawnmower. It was a Kubota. Sitting on this lawnmower, I sat on the lawnmower, and there's a key. So I turned the key. Guess what happened? Nothing happened. So I said, I don't understand what's wrong with this. Yeah, you got to push in the clutch. Well, no one told me that. Then there's a brake on the side. If that brake isn't on and those two things aren't in, it doesn't matter. You're not starting that thing. And if you have the brake off and those two things are in, it's not working either. The brake's got to be on. The two things have got to be on. The clutch got to be on. Then it'll go. And then boom, you got ignition. The problem is, if you're not taught that, you can have a very good lawnmower and a very long lawn, because you can't get it to work. In our walk with God, many people struggle because they don't know how God created them. Therefore, they struggle with how they work. I want you to know that all of us have been fearfully and wonderfully made. That God created us with divine intention. You were intentionally created in the image of God. Therefore, knowing how you have been put together helps you deduce how to live properly. We started talking last week about the word trichotomy. Everybody say trichotomy. Tell somebody, I'm not dichotomous. I'm trichotomous. You're saying, what in the world is that? Okay, let's talk about it. Dichotomy means you have a soul and the body. All animals are dichotomous. Animals do not have a spirit. But they have a soul. We know they have a soul. What's a soul? Your intellect, emotions, and your will. A dog can be sad. A cat can be sweet sometimes with the right sauce. I mean, let's move on. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Sorry. That was that intentional thing that didn't work that time. Now I know. What happened? Get behind me. No. So what's happened is there's a need for us to know that animals are a dichotomous being. You've heard people say that we're just part of the animal kingdom. That is not true. You are not part of the animal kingdom. but you have been made in the image and in the likeness of God. We went over these verses last week. We're going to go over them one more time so that you're right with us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now, we talked about the triunity of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet. Come on. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet. That's right. Three yet one. They are distinctly different, yet absolutely the same. They all have personality. They think the same. They move the same. They are all God. Three yet one. That's the trichotomy, or what we call the Trinity of the Godhead. And God said, let us, remember we went over that verse, that word is called Elohim. Elohim is the singular plurality of that Hebrew word, which again is proving that that right there it's not a single, but a single plurality dealing with Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They are three yet one. We also see this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The word God there is Elohim, singular plurality, showing that the triunity of the Godhead is clear. Going back here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So we've been created like God. What does that mean? That means just as God is three yet one, you and I are trichotomous, three yet one. You see, we have something that animals do not have. We have a spirit. Man being created in the image of God, God, the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, and God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. When he created you and I, he created us with a spirit, and he breathed and we became a living soul. So what happened is we were created in the very image and the likeness of God. In that, just as there is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Say that with me. I am a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. So one more time. I am a who has a that lives in a. One more time. I am a that has a that lives in a. I have a. You're getting there. So this is all important. Now I want to show you that this is very clearly shown in the scripture too. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the bone and the marrow. Let me see. I better read it. I usually quote it faster, and faster it flows better. So here we go. The division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow. So right there we see the trichotomy of man. We see the division of the soul and the spirit. And then we see the physical body, the joint and the marrow. And the word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So here we see very clearly the spirit, the soul, and the body of a person. So say it out loud. I am a who has a that lives in a. One more time. I am a that lives. Excuse me. I am a spirit that has a. That lives in a. Very good. That is who you are. And as you know you're created in the image and the likeness of God. We also see this again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. So this is very simple. You and I are trichotomous, spirit, soul, and body, made in the image of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three yet one. Now, we now know that we have these components, but how do they work? That's the important part. Because once you figure out how this works, you're able to identify whether your soul is rising up or whether your spirit is rising up. I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, I just want you to know God spoke to me last night, and the Lord told me to leave my husband and my children and to go on the road and be an evangelist. I went, I don't think that was the Holy Spirit. You can't tell me whether it was God or not. I said, oh, yeah, I can. It's actually really easy. Because the Spirit of God will always agree with the Word of God. And so I said to her, I said, that's your soul. And she said, no, I'm telling you, that I heard that in my spirit. I said, God will never contradict his word. So that was your intellect, your emotions, and your personal will. See, by knowing the word of God, God is able to show you the clear distinction and division of your spirit and your soul. This is why the enemy works so desperately, I'm talking desperately, to keep you out of the scripture. He keeps you desperately out of the house of God. Why? Because the more ignorant you are, you cannot discern between your spirit and your soul, so therefore, you're not sure who you're actually obeying. And this is why, with the church being ignorant, it's almost impossible to live successful for the kingdom of God. And this is where you and I have to have a clear understanding. And tonight we're going to come to that clear understanding. Amen? So, the spirit of man. What is the spirit of man? Well, we see this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says this, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of God, the breath of life, into the nostrils. And the man became a living being. So God did not call man into existence. He breathed life into man. What did he do? It's called pneuma. Pneuma is the word for spirit. He breathed the spirit into man. So Adam and Eve were literally a living spirit, just like you and I are a living spirit. Whether you realize it or not, every human being on this planet, because we are trichotomous, all have a spirit. You're either going to be eternally with God or eternally damned. Not all dogs go to heaven. Y'all know that, right? The fact is that it doesn't matter how sweet you are, how nice you are. It doesn't matter how kind you are. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not going to heaven. There's no other name under heaven whereby you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. It's not being nice. It's not being kind. It's not going to church. It's not being religious. It's knowing Christ. The spirit of man is powerful because the Bible says either your spirit man is alive or your spirit man is dead. Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? If all of us are a living spirit and we're all going to live eternally, whether it be with Christ in heaven or whether it be in the lake of fire, how is it that if I'm going to live eternally, how can you say my spirit is dead? Well, the spirit of man is dead in its trespasses and sins, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I know you're looking for where I'm at, aren't you? No, good, because I don't know where I'm at either. Kind of just going. I should stay with the book, shouldn't I? I don't know. I think that would be good stuff to go through. Here we go. So let me go through it with you. Yes. Page 33 in the yellow book. In the blue book, what page are we on? 25 in the blue book. Very good. Here we go. So man had the ability to walk with God in the garden. We find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. When man sinned, his whole life changed. Now remember, when God breathed into him, pneuma, when spirit became alive in him, he had a physical body and he had a soul. Why did God create Eve? So that man would not have to be alone. Well, why is that? Because there's an emotional component to man not wanting to be alone. That's a loneliness. That's an emotion. God created you with emotion. Your emotions are powerful. Your emotions are real. Oh, listen, I can't jump ahead. So here's Adam and Eve. They're walking in the cool of the day with God because their spirit man is alive and they're pure. You see, that's called the age of innocence. They had no sin in their life. It wasn't until Adam and Eve committed high treason, and that was disobeying the Lord, rebelling against God, and doing what he told them not to do, touching what was not theirs to touch. The moment that happened, then their spirit man died. The Word of God says, the first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life. The moment they sinned, their spirit man died. How do we know that? Because they could not be in the presence of God. In fact, what was amazing, we start talking about blood. The very first meat that was ever eaten, or I should say blood that was ever shed, was with Adam and Eve. Because they sinned, because their spirit man died, they went and hid themselves out of shame. There was no shame before that. That was an emotion that was never experienced. Watch, there was no fear. Why do you think they hid themselves? There was no fear because that experience was never there in the garden when their spirit was pure. The moment that sin came in, their spirit man died, and now they're dealing with emotions they had never had before. That was shame, and that was fear. So they hid themselves, and God called out, where are you? I believe, like you've heard me say many times, the saddest verse in the Bible, because we all know God knew their geographical location. What he missed was that time with them. Now he could not spend that intimate time with them because their spirit man was soiled. So God covered them. He killed an animal and covered them with the skin of that animal. That's the very first bloodshed in the whole scripture. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So now we have Adam and Eve no longer in the same condition that they were before. They lost the closeness. You know, this is one of the great crimes of Christianity of today. We want everybody to feel like it doesn't matter how you live, you're going to heaven. That is a lie from hell. I don't care what church preaches it from behind the pulpit. The Word of God says different. The Word of God says that when you're not born again, your spirit man is dead, for the wages of sin is death. Now, what's interesting about death, it's not talking about physical death. I want to remind you that God did not kill Adam and Eve in the garden, but they died spiritually. You see, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen to an individual, is being spiritually dead, because then you cannot connect with the Creator. Spiritual death keeps you from the Creator, keeps you from the intimacy, the knowledge, the understanding of who God is. You can believe in God and never know God. I can believe in Uncle Harold, but never know Uncle Harold. It's not until I have a relationship with Uncle Harold. Start talking with him, but I can't talk with him until I breach the communication gap. And that gap, when we're talking about God, that gap is sin. Sin keeps you from God. That's why we must stay away from sin. Listen, there are certain things you've got to hate in this world. Two things you got to hate. You got to hate Satan, and you got to hate sin. These are two things you hate. Well, somebody came up to me one day and said, Pastor, you shouldn't hate anything. No, I'm sorry. Certain things you hate. You hate sin because it's going to destroy your relationship with God. And you hate the devil because he's a foul beast that will never have an opportunity. One guy came up to me and goes, well, I think you're wrong. I'm praying for Satan to be saved. You can tell they needed rock solid faith. Yeah. So Satan is the pusher or the drug dealer of sin. But yet your flesh, your intellect, your emotions, and your will has to lay hold of it to make it manifest. Satan cannot make you sin. Man has free will choice. Adam and Eve did not have to sin in the garden. The Bible says Eve was beguiled or deceived, but Adam made a willful choice. That did not need to happen. The reason it happened was because of the soulish man. So here we have God. Man's spirit is dead without the blood of Jesus. I just want to read some verses and prove it to you. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Where you who were once dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 5. Even when you were dead in your trespasses. 1 Peter 2, 9. Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you see, when you're not born again, you're in darkness. When you're not born again, you're spiritually dead. Now watch, you're spiritually alive, but dead. Which means this, if you die without Jesus, you're never dying. You will eternally be lost. In fact, we find in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, that death and hell will give up the grave, and every man will stand before, every man that was not born again will stand before the, what's called the white throne judgment. The two books will be open. One will be the book of works, where God will show them all the sins that committed and that they chose not to accept Jesus as their Savior. He will open the second book, which is the book of life, and their name will not be written in the book of life because their name is not written in the book of life. God will cast them into the lake of fire, which is called the second death. When a person is not born again, they're dead in their trespasses and sin. If they never get born again, they then experience the second death unto life. Because they will never physically die, they will never spiritually die, but they will die in the fact that they will never be in the presence of God again. So every one of us have a spirit. This is why we push so much. I want to give God praise. 14 people accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior on Sunday at His Tabernacle Family Church between here and in Ithaca. That means 14 people went from darkness to light, from death to life, from being dead in their spirit to being alive in their spirit, to be broken to be healed. You see, God loves to restore. God loves to... He loves to save people because he loves people. Are you bringing that to me? You are so kind. Did you see that? Cameraman, I stopped right there. Did you see that? It's called the walking trail. I stopped on the trail right there. So, a person that receives Jesus, something changes in their life. It is not joining a church when a person gets saved. It is not joining a religion when a person gets saved. When a person gives their heart to Jesus, a supernatural thing happens in their life. I didn't say natural. I said supernatural. The supernatural activity that happens the moment you accept Jesus as your Savior is you go from death to life. That means literally, the Bible says that now you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That literally, not figuratively, God by His Spirit, the Spirit of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet. But the Holy Ghost is the one working, the Godhead, working on the planet at this time with mankind during this season until the rapture of the church. And then the Spirit will be taken away. Now, while he's here, a person that accepts Jesus as their Savior, literally there's a supernatural transformation where God dwells within their spirit man. Literally become possessed. Not figuratively, literally. God doesn't just hover. He dwells. So God literally takes possession. God literally takes up residence, the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's you. Now, literally, you walk with God, talk with God. Listen, it used to be you'd have to wait for him to come down. Now you don't have to. Now he dwells within. For the kingdom of God is within you. It's powerful to realize that when you go from death to life in your spirit, man, everything changes. But yet... not everything changes. We all have a soul. Our intellect, our emotions, and our will. What is the intellect? It's how we think or understand. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I don't understand this God stuff, so I'm not getting involved. That's soul. Emotions, how you feel. Is one of the most damaging things in the body of Christ. the emotions of people that are unrestrained run rampant. We are in a position where emotionally we are the most unstable we have ever been as a church and also in a world. This is truth. Emotionally, there are things that have to shift, and the shifting of your emotions cannot happen by anything but God. Every time, listen now, I believe in counseling. We have counselors in our church. I believe in them. I send people to them. But a counselor that just tries to understand your brain is only ministering to your soul, never changing your spirit. Which means your soul is still going to rule and not your spirit. Let me get going here real quick. Let's talk a little bit more. When man does not know Jesus, he is led by the soulless realm. You know, you ever have somebody say to you, how could there be so much evil in this world? How in the world could there be such evil on the planet? Well, it's simple. Because there's always a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. We'll always justify in our own minds why we do what we do. And we'll believe it's right. It's amazing when you realize that. Let's just talk about it. Child molestation. It's at its highest it's ever been. Not just in girls, but now in boys. But it's every 2 out of 5 boys now are sexually molested. 3 to 4 of the girls are sexually molested. We're at the highest level we've ever been. How is that possible? Well, it's simple. We are at the highest level of pornography that we've ever been in the world. 30, 40 years ago, you'd have to go and you'd have to go to a package store and they'd have a penthouse up there with a little brown paper bag. And with everybody standing in the store, you go, I want that one. So it curbed people. You'd have to have it delivered by mail. And the postman knew what you were getting. So pornography was more challenging to get before. But now, listen now, I don't care how spiritual you are. If you're on the internet for any period of time, how many of you have ever seen my blogs? I post free blogs, free to you. Every morning, pretty much every morning, I post a free devotional that you simply can just jump on and read. Well, you know, I have pictures on those. So one day I'm up and I'm doing the blood of Jesus. And so I type in the blood of Jesus and go to images on Google. How could they put that picture under that title? Big set of boobies. Sitting there staring. I mean, we're talking about you put in the blood of Jesus and out comes boobies. How's that? I don't care how spiritual you are. Now, if you're on the internet, you're going to see boobies. You're going to see some level of pornography. And there are people with being led more by the soul than by the spirit as believers. And what happens, they get drawn into that realm. And then when they get drawn into that realm, the people that live in that realm, they start living a life of sin. And now all of a sudden, we got people doing things to children that they would never have thought about even 50 years ago. Highest ramp up ever. Why? Because the soul is taking more control than it's ever taken. And the reason is because, number one, believers don't know how they're made. But number two, when you're not born again, you have a father. And your father's name is Satan. What? I don't have a pentagram in my house. I don't dance around naked and sacrifice animals. No, but the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that if you're not born again, then you have a father. You are the sons and daughters of disobedience. And who is the father of that? Is Lucifer. So you do what your father does. It's nature. And that is sin, governed by your soulish man. So when you're governed by your soul, then it's all about how you think. You know, as I'm watching, the governor signed the new abortion law I'm watching a smile come across his face. I'm thinking in my head, how can he smile right there damning children up to the day of delivery? Well, because he thinks he's right. He wouldn't smile if he didn't think he was right. Well, how could he think he's right? Because he's governed by his soul, his intellect, his emotions, and his personal will. Some people say, well, he's evil. Well, everybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are evil because they're being governed out of their emotions, governed out of their own intellect, and governed out of their own will. And they're being directed by their Father. So I'm never shocked when a sinner does what a sinner does. Why are you shocked when somebody sins when they don't know Christ? It's normal to them. It's life to them. It is how they live. But as a believer, there's a shift and a change. Because order comes into our life. So let's talk about order. Antonio, come on up here, young man. Dave, come on up here. Who else do we want? Yeah, Andy, come on up here. You're big. There you go. I need you two to switch. Okay, ready? Spirit, soul, sorry, body. Say it with me. Spirit, soul, body. This is you. So if we went, they'd be one. So we kind of made them out here so they're not. All right? When you're not born again, kneel right down on the floor. You're still a spirit, but your spirit's not in control. Your soul is in control. Your soul is governing every decision you make. Your soul is governing how you think. Your soul is determining what you feel. Come on, you've seen the bitter people. They have a right to feel bitter, don't they? Well, if you're not born again, your soul says you can do whatever you want to do. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, it's called humanism. Live any way you want. So when a person's not born again, you don't look at their soul, you look at their physical body. So the physical body is actually doing what it wants to do. Acting out what it wants to be. But it's actually being governed either by the soul or the spirit. But if your spirit is dead, then your soul is governing the outside body. That's why people say, don't judge me. No one has to judge you. Your actions show whether you're living by your soul or your spirit. Ooh, come on, you get that. Everything shifts right there. There's a shift there. When you understand this, the outside man, the physical body of man, is nothing more than a slave to either your soulish man or your spirit man. So how you act and react, how you live your life, holy or unholy, literally is just a declaration of who's in control. Okay. So your body is just the slave. I need you to understand that. And I want you to grasp that. Because this is not the real you. It is. It's exactly what they see. That's why it's easy to know them by their fruits. But this is not you. You look in the mirror every morning, sexy. You look at yourself, you stare at yourself, you pluck your nose hairs. But this is not you. The real you is either, well, you are a spirit. That's the real you. That's eternal. But if you're not born again, this is who's controlling you. You see, God never created you to live like this. He created you to live like this. Your spirit is to be governing your soul, not your soul governing the spirit. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So everything is about who's in control of your life. The challenge is when a person is not taught this is how God created them, they confuse the two. Good intentions, but there's never stability. The roller coaster ride with Jesus. Victory, defeat. Success, failure. It is not dependent. Come on now. In many of our lives, it has nothing to do with whether God's good or not, whether God's powerful or not. What it has to do with is who's ruling. When God isn't ruling, your soul is ruling, and your body just manifests who's in control. So when you're driving down the road, all of a sudden someone cuts you off and you go. Who's in control? Who's in control? Your soul. When somebody does something to you, your auntie gives your great-grandma's ring to Lucy instead of you, and you cuss her out. Who's in control? Well, if the soul is in control, then where's God? Who just growled?
It wasn't a growl.
This is the real point I want to get across tonight when we start talking about spirit, soul, and body. Because many of us are living the way we want to live, acting the way we want to act, and we say, I love Jesus. The fact is, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you're not living for the Lord, which means he's showing that you're living for the Lord, then you're lying to yourself. Because the actual Lord of your life is you and not the Holy Spirit. So this has everything to do with control. There's nothing wrong. God did not tell you to hang your brain on the hat rack. He gave us intelligence. God did not tell us to feel. He gave us feelings. God didn't tell us not to have a will because that moves us forward. But the soul is powerful unless unrestrained. If you do not bring your soul into subjection to the Holy Spirit, then you'll be governed by what the Bible calls your flesh. And if you're governed by the flesh, sin is your life. And if sin is your life and it's controlling you, the wages of sin is death. People come up to me all the time, and I look at them and go, are you living with your girlfriend or something? Yeah, I'm living with her, but I love the Lord. You're a liar. just want to tell you, I don't want to be offensive to you, but you're a liar. What do you mean? Well, if you love the Lord more than you love the girl, then you're not going to allow your soul, even though you have desire, to rule your life. You're going to submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So all of a sudden, you're going to say, hey, listen, I know what my flesh wants to do. Woohoo! But I know that doesn't please God. So I'm going to flee fornication. I'm going to arrest my flesh and take authority over my desires. I'm going to bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up from God, against God. And I will not allow my flesh to rule. I'm going to put it where it belongs, behind the Holy Spirit, and that will manifest how I act. Your actions actually declare who's in control of your life. If God is not the king of your life, then who is? And if your soul is in control of your life, what is the life of the soul? The enemy of God. You'll justify in your own head why you do what you do. As a man thinks, so he is. You either walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. All of it's choice. Who's in control? And the problem with the body of Christ, we haven't been taught this. So what happens when we're not taught this, then we can't understand why we're struggling. I really want to serve God with all my heart, my mind, my body, soul, and my strength. And I want to love the Lord and my neighbor as myself. But I keep struggling with this because I keep falling into the same sin. Well, listen, if you're falling into the same sin, that means you've got to put your soulish man where it belongs, behind the Spirit of God. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. I choose to allow God's Spirit to control me. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives. That the life I now live, so that means this. Grab his arm. Grab his other arm. You got to marry at him a little bit. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to raise your hand during worship. Ready? Watch this. Stay there. Don't move. Step out. But your soul says, everyone's looking at you. Are you getting it? Because this is the very practical way of God working in your life. Now remember, the Holy Spirit will always agree with the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so important to your life. You got to know the Word. So all of a sudden, it's Sunday morning. Just kind of stand next to the altar. Stay right there. It's Sunday morning. Man, you had a hard time sleeping. Well, it's 9 a.m. You're usually at the 9 a.m. service. But you said, I'm sleeping in. But you know there's an 11 a.m. service. So now there's a battle going on. Where's the battle? The battle's between the spirit and the soul. Are you going to get out of bed? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. So the person who says, I don't have to go to church, is living by what? How do we know that? Because we know what the Word says. The spirit will agree with the Word and the soul will not. So you always have a choice. All of a sudden, you're presented with a sin. The soul says, you know that's going to feel good. You know you'll like that. Watch. Nobody will know. And your spirit man says, the Holy Ghost says, don't do it. Don't do that. It's going to cause a chasm between you and my Father. Don't do that. Don't. You feel conviction. But at that moment, you have the choice. God gave us the greatest thing and the worst thing all together. It's called free will. We have the freedom to choose. Choose this day whom you shall serve. So at this moment, you have a choice to make. Do I yield to the Holy Spirit or do I yield to my flesh? All he's doing is manifesting who you gave into. Someone looks at you and says, I love the Lord, but they're living like hell. He's telling you who they're living for. He's in control. But when you're in order, and this is the thing, remember, God is a God of order. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet. But even in the heavenlies, there's order. Don't go anywhere yet. Listen, who are you obeying? Okay. There's always order. God's kingdom is always in order. There's always order with God's kingdom. The anointing brings order. Individually and corporately. That's why he called you to be in the corporate anointing. To bring order to the body of Christ. So all of a sudden, you're dealing with this issue of who's in control. And you've got to make some choices. The way God created you, let me put it this way. The way he created Adam and Eve was like this. You have a body, spirit, and soul. You're being governed by the Spirit. You have emotions, you have intellect, and you have will. But God created Adam and Eve to live like this. So the emotions were always in check. The will was submitted to the will of God. And the knowledge was about God and who God is. When Adam and Eve sinned, Neil. The spirit died, and now Adam and Eve are completely governed by your soul. When you get saved in church, this is how you live. This is who you are right here. When we give the altar call, what we're asking people to do is to make a decision. Without the forgiveness of sins, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ died, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth, the book of Revelations. What we're doing when we're asking someone to give their heart to the Lord is we're not asking them to join church. We're saying, listen, your spirit man is dead. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Jesus wants you to know him. Jesus wants you to walk with him. Jesus wants to give you life. So when a person comes up, this is why sometimes you hear me say, I see that hand, yet no one comes up to the front. It's because at that moment, the flesh was winning over the spirit. There's a battle going on. What is the battle? I'm not going up there. I'll look stupid. I'm not going up there. People are going to stare at me. I'm not going up there. But that's why God said, if you declare me before man, I'll declare you before my Father. Because what that's actually doing, watch, what that's actually doing is it's telling your flesh, get where you belong. So when a person is asked to come up to give their heart to the Lord, they walk up front, they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart that God raised the dead. Who's doing that? Well, right here. This is happening right here. It's coming out of his mouth. You're hearing your flesh going, no! I've been in control of this life. I've been the owner of this life. I've been dictating to this life all these years. I am not giving up. But the moment you accept Jesus, there's a supernatural act. Now your dead spirit rises because the Spirit of God now dwells in your spirit. Now all of a sudden, order comes in your life, and now you're born again. Now the battle begins. Because now you've got to live every single day. The soul says, listen, I want to control. Seriously. It's how it is. I want to control. This is why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Seriously, but exactly what you're doing is exactly what our fight is. This is why if you're not in the word of God, you're going to be weak. The word of God, what does what? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, watch, to the dividing of the spirit, the soul, and the body. Watch. And is a discerner, which means it brings understanding, of the thoughts in the intents of the heart. So when you're not in the word, you can't discern, is this spirit? The Holy Spirit, is this me? Holy Spirit, me. Holy Spirit, me. But when you're in the word, you know who God is. Oh, by the way, where does God reside? Within you. Do you think the Holy Ghost wants to go drinking with you? Do you think the Holy Ghost wants to drop the F-bombs? See, do you think the Holy Ghost wants to go have sex with somebody he's not supposed to be having sex with? Do you think the Holy Ghost wants to be hating people? For God is love. See, all of this is who you're submitting your life to. And this is the battle for the rest of your life. Is always bringing your flesh and saying, come on now, get where you belong. Back up. Spirit of God's ruling my life. That's why prayer and the word is crucial to your success. And why the enemy of God, does not want you to know the word, because then you can't discern between spirit, soul. Therefore, your body will always do what makes it feel best. Come on now. You got it? It's life changing here. Because you see, for many years, when you don't know this, you're living by accident. I hope I'm doing the right thing. I feel I'm doing the right thing. I don't care what you feel like. Your feelings don't determine whether you're being successful or unsuccessful. Your feelings are subject to the Holy Spirit. And if they're not, they're controlling you. You ever see somebody go off on somebody? Who's in control? Well, I had a right to. Really? The Bible says if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. The Bible says let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. It always makes me chuckle. You know, especially, you know, the armed forces and carpenters, or we'll just say the trades. They string that F word in such manners that I just don't know how they pull it off. They can actually make a sentence, a 7-word sentence, 5 words being the F word, and it almost makes sense. It's true, isn't it? Problem is, who's in control? Now watch, after a while, what will happen is when the soul is in control and sin is now ruling and reigning, the Spirit of God will step back. His word says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Which means the Spirit of God will step away and give you the rule of your life again. You can be king again. How did that do for you the first time? You're going to have fun. You know, people say, sin's not fun. Yeah, you're stupid. You know sin's fun. Sin is fun, but it's only fun for about a season. Come on now. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. So the fact is that sin is fun, but you got to pay the piper. That means you got to pay for your own sin, which means you're cast into the lake of fire. So the question is who's in control of your life the majority of the time? Well, it's easy to tell. Just watch how you act. You'll know who's in control. Say amen or oh my. Is this making sense to you? It's simple. But yet, if you've never been taught, you can't turn the lawnmower on. Now that you can turn the key and it starts, you can mow the lawn. Technicalities, that's totally different. Thank God for healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. So this is where you and I have to make a choice. Emotions are part of the family. Listen, I can't go through this whole thing. In fact, I'll end there and just give you opportunity for questions. But right there is how you are created, how you function, and how to tell who's in control. It's easy to tell because it will always agree with the word. So when someone's telling you they love the Lord,
I love Jesus. My favorite guy is God. I talk to him all the time. I prayed last night.
Exactly. Because you can say you love God. Come on now. You can say you love God. You can say that you're born again. You can say that he's your king. But everybody knows.
I was just lost. Lost.
The sinners know you're lost. Listen, you want to know how to act? Ask your sinner friends. They'll tell you what's God and what's not. I didn't say they're living it, but they'll tell you you're not. Spirit, soul, and body. Who's going to control your life? To walk in the Spirit is really easy. It's not hard. The battle has already been won. Jesus gave you the power. It's called grace. He's given you the power to live right. But you and I ultimately have the choice who's going to control our soul or our spirit. And whomever you yield to will manifest on the outside. Questions? The Holy Spirit has always been on earth, but when he actually started working with mankind directly is Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God came out of heaven, baptized them in the Holy Ghost. It was the launch of the church. So the Holy Spirit started really working with mankind specifically while Christ sat at the right hand of the Father at the launch of the church in Acts chapter 2. He will leave at the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, make the declaration. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Encourage one another with these words. The moment that the rapture of the church happens, the Bible says in Thessalonians, the restrainer will be removed. Who's the restrainer? Well, when the rapture happens, we're the church. The Bible calls us salt and light. What's the purpose for salt? Preservation. What's the purpose for light? To be able to see, keep the darkness away. Darkness is only the absence of light. So the moment the church is gone through the rapture, and now the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is gone, the Antichrist can now do whatever he wants on the planet. That's why it becomes so evil for 7 years. Question. Wow.
Before he stood up, he was just soul, and and he was man, and the spirit was dead within him. He was
correct.
Down. But once he got born again, that spirit stood up and it became alive. And then that battle began between the soul
that's
and the
right.
control. But what happened before he got born again, before the spirit even stood up, he fed that soul man everything that he eats. What's he eat? Everything of anything that is not of righteousness of sin. That's all he eats, everything that's of sin. So he's really strong. So when that battle begins, when we get born again, that man is a little spirit. He whoops him so bad. So what's really important about what you just taught us is what you get me every time I come here. The word.
The word.
The word restores that spirit. But hey, sit down, little physical.
That's right.
Soul man. You ain't got, shut up.
That's right.
And he, but without the word, he becomes, okay, well then go do what you always did. Right?
That's right.
And but he, wait, that was the wrong impression. He never, see, we argue in one thing in the spirit, and that is once saved, always saved. Because once that spirit enters in, he never leaves. He begins, but the question is, our heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And we can deceive our own heart. So did he ever stand up? Ooh, so you better serve him daily because you better feed, because then you might deceive your own heart into that eternal life of fire instead of.
I'm going to let you teach the class next time. It's good. Honestly, guys, this is why I push here. I'm a pusher. You're next level. Some of you pick up your Bible every once in a great while. This is why you struggle desperately in your walk with Jesus. Let me tell you how I do it. I'm up every day. I'm up at 5:15 in the morning. I'm out in my prayer room, which is my man cave. I'm praying, and then I take time in the Word. But all night long, I put on YouVersion, and I put on the Bible, and I'm listening to the Bible all night long. I just leave it on. All night long. Well, I can't sleep with someone talking. Oh, yeah, you can fall asleep watching TV anytime you want. Instead of listening to TV, listen to the Word. Yep, one of those small Bible things. Yep. And listen, your spirit never sleeps. So when you're listening to the Word all night long, your spirit man is feeding. You're becoming strong even though your physical man is sleeping. Yes. Absolutely. Every nation, kindred, and tongue. But it'll be more like an Old Testament salvation, not an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yep. Totally different animal. Yes. That's right. Even, and Chris just said, even Jesus had the fight between the spirit, soul. How do we know that? Because in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, when he was being tempted of the devil, he had to make a choice to either submit or to overcome the devil at that point with the temptations of the flesh. And he fought it with the word of God. Yes. Genesis 2, don't eat of the tree. Yep. Where did she get that? Don't touch it. Well, God told her not to touch that tree. Not to touch it. No, not even to touch it. Well, her deception, yeah, her deception was that she didn't die physically. She died spiritually. She did not know that. And by the way, the interesting part is she chose not to believe the word. That's why she was in that position of death. See, God gave the word, don't touch that tree. Was there anything wrong with that tree? Nothing wrong with that tree. So what was wrong? That's his tree. Don't touch that tree. There are certain things you don't touch. When God says they're his, you don't touch them. Like the tithe. The Bible says very clearly in Leviticus, the tithe is holy unto the Lord, which means it's not ours to touch. That's why he said in the book of Malachi chapter 3, listen, return to me and I'll return to you. That was just before the verses, will a man rob God? You see, when you touch what's not yours, it brings a level of separation. You're allowing your soul to rule. One more question, and we'll be done. that was good tonight. Come on now. You need to watch that more than once. You can go right online, histabernacle.com. Go up to watch. Go down to archives. And this one, you need to watch it at least two more times. How many of you have an iPhone? I mean, you're born again. You have iPhones. I mean, sorry. If you have an iPhone, you can go on our app. His, H-I-S, space, T-A-B, space, N-Y. That's our app on the iPhone. You can actually listen to that message. You have a choice to watch it or listen to it. So you can do either or on that app. You can watch all the archives, listen to all the archives right on there. But you need to hear this at least two or three more times. I teach myself this all the time. Just because this is what the devil don't want you to get a hold of, because then you'll live blessed, you'll live successful. Remember, God always blesses obedience. He can't bless disobedience. Say it one more time. God cannot bless disobedience. In fact, the prophet said that when you're living a life of disobedience, God no longer hears your prayers. He turns his ear away from you.
Selah.
We don't like to talk about that verse because Jesus loves everybody. Don't matter what you do, he loves you. And that is absolutely true. But it don't mean he listens to you.